All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right After Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry here reacting. It is 10:28 p.m. Eastern here, right after the episode, right after Thrones here, reacting live to episode 5 of season 8. One more to go. First of all, Curry, wow, unreal.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a state of shock here a little bit, just from everything we just witnessed.
Yeah, a lot to break down. We're going to get to the quick recap, and then we'll get to our analysis and all that. We have the tweets flying out. The name of the episode, Curry?
The name is King's Landing.
Miguel Sapochnik back at the helm after episode 3 for sure. So let's start with the name of the episode, Curry.
I thought it would have been, in retrospect, the Mad Queen.
I know, right?
But yeah, they just called it King's Landing.
King's Landing. We've had some pretty simple titles here. But yeah, we're just getting that news just breaking. Curry bringing some news here on the air. Title of the episode is King's Landing. So we sent out tweets. Tweets are flying in. We're absolutely loving it. Loving the interaction. We have some difference of opinion on the episode, but Curry, where should we start here? I say we go to the poll.
Yeah, let's go to the poll.
Instant reaction poll. Votes are flying in, which we love. 82 votes already, and it's only been up for about 5 minutes. So amazing, great, good or average, poor, bad. So 38% say amazing, 29% say great, high quality GOT, 16% good, average, not great, and 17% poor, bad, disappointed. So normally we don't have anything down there in that poor, bad, disappointed. But I can have some solace and with those people there. So there's the instant reaction so far. We'll update that at the end and see you know what exactly people are thinking. But where do you want to start here, Curry?
Well, in my opinion, I think I'm going to have to go with great, high-quality Game of Thrones.
Really?
I'm leaning towards amazing. I really enjoyed it. I mean, however, I will say that you can be both disappointed and think it was great. But
Are you in that or no?
No.
You just think it was straight up great?
I just think it was straight up great.
Wow. Okay. We'll get into it a little bit here. Yeah, I think I'm more in the... I'm in the not great. It says good, average, not great. I don't think it was great. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot left, a lot of meat left on the bone there in terms of the way characters went out, in terms of, I mean, we'll probably get some explanation next week, but I think there was definitely a lot left to be desired for this episode because there's only one more episode left. So things had to tie together quickly and things had to tie together, with haste for sure, but I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to be excited about the way things were tied together.
No, I think a lot of people are going to be upset after that episode, especially Daenerys fans.
Danny fans for sure, but I think, I don't know, just from a logistical standpoint, and we'll get into it, like I said, I don't know, but Danny just, I feel like she got what she wanted. She got King's Landing without having to burn them all. I mean, we see it, and we'll break it down for sure. But we see it, you know, with the Queen's Guard in the streets, and we see it with the bells. I mean, the bells, it was game over, man.
Yeah, they really hammered that point home leading up to the battle about the bells.
The bells.
Tyrion said it.
Preaching it.
Yeah. He told Daenerys, he said, if you hear the bells, you'll hold off. He said it to Jaime. He said, ring the bells, get out of there, everything will be okay. And then even when the Lannister army threw down their swords, people are yelling, you know, ring the bells.
And Tyrion said it to Jon, too. He's like, before you go, remember, call your guys off if you hear the bells. And someone listened.
Someone got to him, rang the bells. I thought they were waiting on Cersei's cue to ring the bells, which I was like, she's not going to.
She ain't ringing shit.
Let's just jump right into that, all right?
Yeah.
There's so much. There was a lot of build up to that, but right now in the moment, I think that has to be our first thing that we react to.
Go ahead.
And it was the Lannister army had been backed kind of up against the wall, and Jon Snow and the Northern army, Grey Worm and Davos, those are the three at the front.
Smoked?
They got them where they want them, and it's standoff, and the Drogon and Daenerys are flying around, and the Lannister army was smarter than Cersei at this point, and they threw down their swords.
Yeah, it was a long stare down. The lips were quivering from the Queen's Guard. The Grey Worm looked ready to rock, you know, as did a bunch of the people that were with them, for good reason. They're feeling the mojo, and they're not getting their ass handed to them. Like the Queen's Guard just saw The Gold Company, that could be the Word of the Week nominee. I mean, those guys got absolutely shellacked. They were not worth their money. Harry Strickland, what was he, maybe the least important played up character of all time?
Yeah, that was unfortunate for them.
But yeah, go ahead. So,
but yeah, so they throw down their swords, and people are shouting to ring the bells. And here there's a cutaway. They show Cersei and show Daenerys, yes, just kind of back and forth with their faces, and you just have to judge from their faces how they're feeling,
what's
what they're thinking.
Happen, yeah.
And Cersei, I thought she almost like smiled in this scene.
Yeah, like because I yeah
because and I wasn't sure if it was one because Daenerys was going to show mercy, or if she saw it coming that Daenerys was going to go Mad Queen. But if that's the case, I don't think she would have smiled knowing what would eventually happen to her. But
yeah, in that scene, I thought it was almost like, all right, this is just another Cersei Lannister trick.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's got something up her sleeve for sure. With that little like almost half smirk, and that big face off. Bells are ringing. Like it was like this is almost too easy.
I did think for a second that maybe the bells were kind of a false flag.
And but it's like, oh, was Tyrion a traitor? Like what? Like everything's running through my mind. Like because this is too easy. This is because what are we? We're probably 30 minutes into the episode, maybe 35.
Mm-hmm.
And they just throw down their swords, and it's like holy shit, they just won. They literally just won. They surrendered. Bells are ringing, and it's over, man. Like come on. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's.
It's a head scratcher for me.
Defend
Daenerys burning the sea.
I mean, I can't defend her as a character doing that. I will defend the writing of it.
Defend the writing. That's what I'm saying. Sorry.
She is a target. They've been setting up for it all season, she is a Targaryen. They teased it heavily in both the previews
and the beginning of the episode. Flip a coin.
Yeah, about flipping a coin and. They're not sure, and she's shown this tendency before. She's been cruel before,
but she could have done this. She could have done this before, and she went up north and she was the righteous and she helped Jon. And maybe it was because she's crushing on Jon Snow, but she could have just swept the city if she wanted to. And you're gonna say that she's lost stuff since then? Okay, she has.
She's lost everything. She's lost her two truest and most loyal advisors,
Jorah,
Missandei, and.
Two dragons along the way.
And two dragons as well. And I think Jorah kind of always was similar to Tyrion, like kind of telling her to hold back to slip into, you know, not to be what her father is. And I think if Jorah was around, he would have been able to counsel her a little more.
Missandei.
Clearly Missandei, we know how she felt.
And Grey Worm's useless now because he's...
Grey Worm is totally useless
revenge
now. And I'm a little upset we didn't see him die, but we'll get to that later. But yeah. But yeah, I just think that, look, is there better ways or other ways I would have liked to see the story wrap up? Sure. Like
I mean, 96% of it's wrapped up.
Yeah. Like the King's Landing, the Lannister conflict is gone. Like that's
Cersei Lannister
all
was
we're left
up.
With now is what to do about Daenerys and Jon and I guess what remains of the Seven Kingdoms. So.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe it's like the excuse for like the not the ease, but the maybe a little bit of the disappointment from the Battle of Winterfell was, well, now we're on to the real enemy. Now we're on to the real. It's always been about the throne. It's always been about Cersei. And there was no real fight. I mean, there was no real. I mean, we see a dragon go down in 3 shots last week. This one's invincible. Not only is it invincible, Iron Fleet gone.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. That's supposed to be the big, big thing. Iron Fleet gone. The Gold's Company will be waiting all season to see Harry Strickland. Gone in what, a matter of minutes?
I think I'm glad that that's how it was. It makes last week look way worse because last week they went 3 for 3 and killed Rhaegal easily.
Yes.
But I think that dragons are supposed to be nearly invincible and should be able to dominate a kingdom. Well, I guess, but they did. Like
I know. I'm saying that's.
I'm saying last week was worse. I don't have a problem with this week being the way it's supposed to be. Just they got one answer wrong, and this week it was good. Like
I don't know. So yeah, Drogon goes off. He seemed to have his bros go down. He's on a revenge tour.
Yeah,
for sure. But he takes down the Iron Fleet like that. So it's like I don't know. It's tough. I have trouble with. I totally understand your. Thought about she's lost everything, two dragons, Jorah, now Missandei just got sliced up, Grey Worm You know, and she's got people behind her back. That's probably the even biggest thing. Mm-hmm. But the one thing she's been after the whole time is getting this throne the right way. She's always said that, like, if she did, she wants to break the wheel. Mm-hmm. That was her thing. She wants to break the wheel. And she had a chance to break the wheel, and she just said, like, fuck it. Like,
well, in the beginning of the episode, she when she's arguing with Tyrion, she says, like, Tyrion is making some good points. He says, look, the people here are just like the slaves in Meereen that you freed. It's just, instead of slavery, it's tyranny. It's, you know, they don't have a say in what's going on.
I mean, it's a good point. It's a very, they're like hostages, he says.
And she says, you know, I'm freeing them from future tyrants.
Yeah, she's like, freeing the future of the world. Doing. Yeah, that's her reasoning.
So she has her reasons to do this, to burn them all. And
But she does. It's like you get to the actual climax, and the bells are ringing, mm-hmm. and not only is it like she does like a little more.
That's the
it's 45 minutes worth of.
That's the thing is she didn't have to, and she did because she slipped into she went mad queen territory. That's it. So if the issue is that she, if the issue is what she did after becoming the Mad Queen, that's. That's not the issue. The issue is that she made that choice to go.
My issue is, forget Jorah Mormont, forget dragons, forget Missandei. The one main thing she's always wanted is getting this throne the right way. Break the wheel. We're not going to do it the way they've done it before. And all that aside, she gets to the climax of the series. King's Landing is theirs. King's Landing has surrendered. And she... Look, makes the decision.
I got to disagree with you saying that she's always wanted to get it the right way. I don't think she's ever said that. She says she wants to break the wheel, that she doesn't want to be what Cersei is or anything, but I don't think she's ever said that she needs to take it the right way. That's what her advisors tell her, and she's listened to her advisors. She's always wanted to go in there with fire and blood.
Oh, I don't know.
She's always been counseled against that, especially from Tyrion.
She makes a decision.
Up to this throughout this episode, Tyrion has always been, we need to save this city, we need to save the people. She has never felt that way about saving the people. She's always felt that what she said at the beginning of the episode, that me taking the kingdom, that will save them kind of in the long run.
She's saying, like, we're to save future generations.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because she could have made this play anytime she wanted to.
She could have, and that's what like Lady Olenna kind of advised her to do that.
The dragon.
You know, back last So and she's just never listened to her advisors. Obviously, she had to take care of the Night King.
She always listened to her advisors.
Obviously, yeah, that's what I mean. She listened to Tyrion and Varys and Jorah, whoever else was advising her not to do this. But yeah, I think now. So let's cut away to the top of the episode,
because
that kind of set the tone, set the table for what for the rest of.
I mean,
we saw.
You can have gripes with this, because I mean, why was your Death Watch not reflecting of Varys? She was like,
I thought Varys was going to be kind of cunning enough to get as far away from Daenerys as possible as soon as
she was going to know
He decided. Yeah, so that's one. I don't want to nitpick too early, but that's one kind of gripe I have with the episode is that. We immediately start. We have Varys writing letters about Jon being the true heir.
Who's he writing to?
Other lords of Westeros.
You think?
Absolutely. I don't know.
Sansa Stark.
I don't know who exactly, but well, Sansa knows. I don't think he has to send it to Sansa.
True.
But Dorne, the Vale. Well, the Vale. He probably doesn't need
Robin
to
Aaron.
But I think just as many lords
of
Westeros.
Get the news
as he
out.
Can.
He's sending it to all the. He's sending the New York Times pretty much.
And he has a spy, a little bird. Her name is Martha.
Yeah.
Kitchen girl and. He says she won't eat. The little girl says she won't eat. So I'm like, okay, she's a kitchen girl. She's spying on Daenerys. Like, did Varys maybe try to poison her? Is that what he mean? But she won't eat?
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of brushed by that. That was just.
I was like, she won't eat.
At first I was like, what are they talking about? Like, are they talking about the dragons or something? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But it says she won't eat. Must be maybe Varys tried to poison her. I don't know.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
I guess not. So. Then we have Jon. He's received by Varys when he gets there in the Dragonstone.
Real quick, I want to get back to we talked about it a little bit, but in the previously on, I mean, they could not have hammered the Mad Queen stuff.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah.
She's showing her face. She's all fudged up because Missandei died, rightfully so. Mm. And then it's just all the quotes pouring in, two sides of the coin, all that jazz. You know, burn them all, whatever. So they're teasing her hard, and it's kind of like, oh shit, we can kind of see where this is going. Go ahead.
So, Jon's received by Varys, tells him the Northern armies are still coming, and then Varys has a whole, you know, talks about a Targaryen. You toss the coin and says, I don't know which side her coin has landed on yet, but I know where yours has landed. So that's kind of Varys' way of saying, yeah, I know you're a Targaryen, and also you're a good one. And of course, Jon, this is the only thing he says kind of all episode, is that I don't want it. She's my queen. You know, she'll rule well.
That's his catchphrase, yeah.
Yeah, that's his cop out. It's just, I don't want it. She's my queen.
I bend the knee. Yeah. Like, I'm Jon Snow, Mr. Honorable.
So Varys, I don't know what his objective was there. If he was just trying to, I guess he was trying to flip Jon to be like, you know,
I know, bro.
Yeah,
I know.
Hey, I got your back if you want to go for it. And Jon's just like, no.
Dude, fucking stop. Yeah.
So then we get Tyrion approaching Daenerys. And
he says to that Martha chick, the greater the risk, the greater the reward.
Yeah.
Right? This guy's like, he's a scumbag, honestly, I feel like. Come on.
Yeah.
Sending these little kids around and risking their bad
episode for Varys. He'll probably be in a vote category, yeah, vote nominee.
Danny probably takes it, but he'll be close second. Go ahead.
So then we have Tyrion approaching Daenerys. And
Tyrion sees that Varys talked to him.
Yes, Tyrion saw that Varys was talking to Jon. Tyrion approaches Daenerys, and she already knows. She says, someone has betrayed me. And she's in tears. She's not looking good.
She's looking brutal.
And her hair isn't done. She doesn't have Missandei there to do her hair anymore.
I know.
And like, she looked, this was kind of the most Targaryen I think she's ever looked, where she, like, her hair looked whiter and, you know, in her face, messier, kind of like her father and Viserys, kind of like how we saw them.
Yes.
And she looks like she's been crying, and I guess she kind of has.
She won't eat. She's all shook up, and it's understandable.
So what I don't understand, and she lays it out to Tyrion. She knows everything that just happened.
Which is kind of weird.
There's zero explanation for that. How does she know that?
I know.
So I guess had Jon told her?
I don't know.
But based on the sequencing, it seemed like Varys talked to Jon.
Tyrion saw
that, and then Tyrion went to Daenerys. So how could she?
That nitpick. I mean, yeah, it's a fair nitpick.
That's some nitpicking. So she knows everything already. She knows that Jon told Sansa. Sansa told you. You told Varys, and here we are. So, and it's funny because she says that Jon Snow betrayed her.
I love that.
I like that too.
Because I was like, no, you're wrong, but actually, you're kind of right.
Yeah, her logic makes sense that she begged Jon not to tell Sansa, but he did anyway. And look, he never promised to her that
he
wouldn't.
No, he didn't.
But she knew what would happen.
And it went off screen, kind of. So
yeah, she knew what would happen if Sansa found out. Sansa would immediately use that to take down Daenerys, and that's essentially what happened. So she says that, you know, Varys knows the truth. You told him. You learned from Sansa. So that's just the train of betrayal here.
Yeah, and she's really,
in her eyes,
and she's setting up like the Sansa, like, you know, mano a mano ness of.
Yeah, she's definitely painting Sansa in a bad light, kind of as her
from Jump Street,
her counter foe in the north.
She's right though about Tyrion, because Tyrion found out, and it was an auto. It was an auto tell Varys.
Exactly, and she says, you know, you went right to him instead of me. You're my hand.
Yes,
and
she's
right. You played right into Sansa's game. Like, she trusted that you would do this. That's why she
spread secrets. And she's right.
Look, Sansa, this is kind of the Littlefinger part of Sansa.
Yes.
She knows how the game is played.
Putting things into action, yep, for sure. But Tyrion, I mean, I didn't think about that last week when Varys and Tyrion were talking about it. Was that like, all right, she told Tyrion, didn't have to be an auto, like, the spider knows.
Mm-hmm.
But he just let the next guy right in the chain. And then it gets out from there. So he could have kept it in house.
He could have nipped it in the bud.
And what's Varys' job? She says, you know, he said the master of spies or whatever Tyrion called him. But I mean, his title is kind of like, I mean, it's like unofficial. You know, he just does like the dirty work a little bit on the. But it's like, why does Varys need to be in the know?
I guess just because him and Tyrion they've been through a lot together. They both understand how the Game of Thrones works, and. I think just...
Like, I understand why Tyrion told him, but I don't know. He did betray... He kept the chain moving, which fudged everything up.
Yes, yeah. He could have nipped in the bud. He could have told Daenerys, and then Varys... He would have spared Varys.
Got it. Go ahead.
But that's kind of what Daenerys says. She says, this is just as much... His death is just as much on Sansa and you as it is on me.
Exactly. But, yeah, it won't be seen that way.
So, yeah. So, Varys, he hears him coming. He burns whatever letter he's writing. He takes off his ring. It was kind of odd to see that. I don't know if that's going to matter or not, but if there's any sort of significance. And he's taken before John and Danny. Tyrion confesses. He says, it was me. Says, you know, goodbye, old friend. And
yeah, they get their moment. It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. But this was a key takeaway, kind of famous last words from Varys. He says, I hope I deserve it. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
And she kind of proves him right.
She does.
So, and then we get the Dracarys shot. And this was in the season preview. This was, I think, like the very last shot in the season preview. Yes. So now we're completely done with the season preview.
Done.
Nothing from episode 6 was in the preview.
Done.
So obviously she burns Varys alive, just as she promised she would do back when he swore allegiance to her.
Yep.
She said, you know, if you ever betray me, I'll burn you alive.
And she also said, let me know. Like, if you think I'm teetering, like, let me know.
And he did that last week.
He did. Fuck. He did to a certain extent. But he didn't really say, I'm going to fucking betray you.
Yeah, he didn't come to her and say, hey, John's a better leader.
He just said, don't do this. Yeah. And then, like, she was like,
don't become your father, don't kill the people, blah, blah, blah.
But then he does kind of snake her. Go ahead.
So.
Actually, before we continue, let's take a quick break.
Okay, yeah. We'll be right back to discuss.
Let's keep recapping here.
I don't know, yeah, we'll keep recapping.
All right, welcome back. I just had to take a quick break there. Curry, go ahead. Where should we pick up?
So
Varys gets cooked.
Yeah, so Varys is roasted.
It's a pretty awesome shot. Awesome shot.
It was. Poor Varys. Poor one out for Varys. We get a quick shot, a quick scene of the Missandei necklace chain thing.
Only thing she brought over, man.
Yeah, Daenerys and Grey Worm. She gives it to Grey Worm, and he throws it in the fire.
He's not.
Just to show that he's angry, he's mad, he's not holding on to the memory of her. He wants to get revenge for her.
Revenge for sure.
There's some fire in Grey Worm for sure, and we see that throughout the episode. So after this scene, John approaches, and she says to Grey Worm in Valyrian, says, you know, leave me be, I'll talk to him. Which I thought it was interesting that she chose not to say that in the common tongue.
Like, it was like kind of showing like why, yeah, shit's getting like. You know.
She's kind of hiding from John, I guess.
Yeah.
And Daenerys explains to John, this is a victory for her. This is what Sansa wanted.
She confronts him. I mean, and she calls him out, and it's like, you told Sansa, okay, and then she betrayed you.
And she's not wrong about pretty much everything she says here with John.
Exactly.
She says that, you know, they love you here, not me, that they only fear me.
Fear.
And John, he repeats his mantra that, look, you'll always be my queen. Mm-hmm. You know, you have love for me. And she says, is that all I am to you? And then they have their little, you know, intense emotional makeout sesh. He's still kind of holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably a little turned off by the whole aunt and nephew thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's totally kosher for Targaryens.
Yeah.
And then after that, she says, let it be fear. Something.
I guess she's sensing his lack of embrace, and it's like, all right, like, this is how we're going to do it then.
Yeah, so she's just saying, all right, if I'm going to be the queen here, I'm not going to be loved. I might as well be feared.
Got it.
So this is all very little steps, little seeds that they were sowing regarding her slipping into Mad Queen territory. And it's been going on all season, to be honest, but this is when they were really starting to show their hand.
Yeah. It's building up for sure. Just trying to see if any other notes. I don't have love here. I know there's been some thought of, like, you know, maybe I've seen some people out there say, like, maybe Daenerys will just, like, give it to Jon. Daenerys goes back to Essos where she's loved, and she rules there. He rules here. And I was thinking, like, all right, maybe she's saying, like, I don't have love here, or I don't know. But she ends up saying, let it be fear. So I guess it had to go this way. Go ahead, Greg.
She'd rather be feared than loved. Machiavelli. Anyway.
Yes, a lot of Machiavelli.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So we have a... This was when...
James.
This was with Tyrion, where he was pleading with her that it's King's Landing's just like Meereen.
Yeah.
Tyranny instead of slavery.
Yeah, hostages.
And they're hostages. You know, you can save them just like you did in Marine without burning them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, look, mercy is not our weakness. Your sister thinks that my mercy is my weakness. It's going to be our strength.
I like it.
And I get that, but also she clearly didn't
She's saying
follow
like,
through.
Like our
yeah.
future mercy
yeah.
that we will
She's saying
like, we're
going to
get in
term,
there.
Yeah.
We're going to get in there. It's going to be cool once we get in. Just let us get in there.
In the long run, this is mercy, basically is what she's saying.
Yes.
But,
and like, yeah, for sure.
So, and then we get the first mention of the bells. Tyrion says, if you hear them ringing the bells, call off the attack. And she kind of gives Grey Worm a nod, but she doesn't really say much on the bells.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, or Tyrion starts to leave, and she leaves him with, your brother was captured trying to sneak past our lines.
You're wrong again, bro.
Yeah.
You're wrong again, Tyrion.
And what is the last thing she says? Says, like, if you fail me, it'll be the last time
last
you fail
time you
me.
Fail. Which is
that
fair.
That is a threat. And
it's a fair
it's
threat.
Fair. It's fair.
Because, I mean, he's fudged up time after time. We talked about the cold streak he's on. He's on an absolute cold streak. And he was all in on the Jaime train. They could have killed Jaime right there in that trial, and she talked about it, and he stood up for him. Another misstep by Tyrion, and so and we get the first kind of shedding of light on what Jaime was trying to do, because we talked about how we don't really know exactly what his plan is, but it sounds like he's trying to sneak past. He's trying to get back there.
So, but he didn't really have a plan at all.
I know. He just rode.
Yeah.
He just tried to get away from Brienne.
I'm not
Five cleaner. Sometimes
a lot of people I'm sure aren't happy with what they've done with Daenerys' character. I'm really not happy with what they've done with Jaime's character.
Lannister. They had it.
In the end I understand it, but I understand Daenerys's, but for Jaime, he was completed.
He dies at the Battle of Winterfell. We're happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He dies at the Battle of Winterfell, or if his story just ends before, you know, like, he just stays up there with Brienne, or he knighted Brienne, kill him off there. He makes love with Brienne, you know, that whole thing. Just leave him there. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I get it in the end, but it's bittersweet. Bittersweet.
True, true, true. So Tyrion's like, oh, shit. And you pick up here. I had to step out of the room for a minute, so I don't know exactly.
Sure. So Tyrion, he asks Davos, he says, you know, you're still the greatest smuggler in the world.
Yes.
And Davos says, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like this.
I'm not going
to
like
classic
this.
Davos. So basically, Tyrion talks to Davos and tries to set up this escape route for Jaime, I think is kind of what that conversation is.
Escape route to, but in the end, to help everyone.
Yes. To help Jaime getting out of King's Landing, like the little boat, the little dinghy setup.
Yeah.
I think that was all Davos' smuggling scheme. So, after this, we get Arya and the Hound. Just real brief scene. They tell the Northern Army, they say, we're going to kill Cersei. And the guard is just like, you know, he doesn't know what to say, because they're so upfront about it.
Yeah.
And the Hound is like, look, there's not going to be any war. There's not going to be a siege. Just let her go and kill the queen.
Yeah, like, let her. Let's sit down.
And they just go right on by.
Love it.
So it just shows that the two of them are on this potentially suicide mission.
Kamikaze style.
Yeah.
Which I like.
I like it too.
I like that, you know, I like that that's like it's like a side plot of the battle, which is cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Going into it, it's cool. Doesn't need to happen, but I like the side plot going into the battle for sure. Okay.
All right. So now we have Tyrion. He sweet talks his way past the Unsullied guards, kind of butchers some Valyrian, but then they speak common tongue. Mm-hmm. And he gets in Jaime's tent to free him. And this is some clear symmetry between mm-hmm. when Jaime saved Tyrion before his trial by combat. Or not before his trial by combat. After his trial by combat. Mm-hmm. When he was already sentenced to death. So Tyrion, he has an escape plan for him. And says, you know, you can start a new life in Pento. Swear it. Get in there. Ring the bells. Get out. Mm-hmm. And Jaime, when he's speaking, both of them really are. They emphasize the baby. They mention the baby a couple times,
big time.
And Jaime says, "Look, she's not going to give up. She's not going to surrender because of that baby."
Yeah, Tyrion thinks it's like the saving grace is that
she
has this baby, this future to worry about. He's saying it's in fact the opposite.
And I feel like Jaime knows her better than anyone. Exactly. Although I kind of
agree with
Tyrion's point
logic,
makes more
logic,
sense.
Yeah.
But
Go ahead.
So then we have a really touching moment between the two of them, emotional, where they kind of say their goodbye, and Tyrion says, you know, if it weren't for you, never would have survived my childhood. You,
it's deep, man.
You treated me like you didn't see me as a monster. You're the only one. You're all I had. So that's, yeah, that was an emotional emotional moment between the two brothers.
And he's and he says, I never thought I'd get to repay you for releasing me from prison.
Yeah,
which is,
you saved his life.
Full circle, which I liked. He gets him out of there. It's cool, and he's on this mission. So we have many a plot going into the battle, which is I liked a lot.
That's kind of, that takes us back to old school Thrones, how there was always so many plots going on around everything.
And that's what I've missed, I feel.
So yeah, to have that where it's all in King's Landing, but there's different plots going on. I like that.
Jaime's rolling in, Hound and Arya wheeling. We got Mad Queen brewing. We got Cersei. We got the Iron Fleet. The Scorpions.
That's what we got next.
Yeah, go ahead. Scorpion season.
So that's what we have next, and we have Euron and the Iron Fleet. They're looking up. Ballistas are armed and ready, aiming at the sky. And
must have been some low-hanging clouds that day. He was looking up. You know, she came in out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, she doesn't come in yet. She doesn't come in yet. They're just kind of setting the table for when she does. So, but they're showing us that the Iron Fleet is out there ready. They're hunting some dragons. They're hoping that they could get three more easy shots in that they got last week.
Bing, bang, boom. I mean, talk geography for a minute for me. I mean, does she have to come in that way? It's like, I guess she wanted to take it out. That's why she came in that way. But talk Dragonstone to King's Landing. I mean, you figured she would just come maybe right up the gut. Let's reason it out here. She saw all the scorpions mounted when we see Missandei die, and that's kind of where the battle starts. So I guess she's figured we're going to backdoor him here and come in through the sea. Little does she know, or maybe she knew it was coming, that the Iron Fleet is out there and ready to, you know, shoot up these almost automatic snipers from last week, but not this week.
Yeah, so basically Dragonstone is directly across Blackwater Bay. Okay. To get to King's Landing, like, that's the most direct route. That's why Stannis went through Blackwater Bay. So it would make sense for Daenerys to
come that way. Got it.
And that's why they're armed and ready in the bay with the Iron Fleet.
Got it.
So they're setting the table before the battle. We have Euron's in the Iron Fleet. We have the Hound and Arya are just kind of walking amongst the chaos that's going on inside King's Landing. So inside King's Landing, all the people, the innocents, the citizens, are just kind of like sprinting to get inside the inner walls of the Red Keep to be protected. And it's just madness. And the Hound and Arya are just walking
amongst it.
And it's he's got a big hood on. She's just kind of walking. And then we see the same thing, a similar shot with Jaime, who he's got a hood on. He's walking through the people. We see the shot that we discussed in the preview episode of a hooded figure walking through the Golden Company.
Yes.
And so we find out that was Jaime Lannister, which I think we said that was definitely a possibility.
Yeah, we were both all over that.
Yeah. And then
Jaime concealing that gold hand.
Yeah,
of course, and then he's showing it off like, yo, let me in.
So then we're still setting the table for the battle here. We have the Golden Company's outside the walls. Why are they outside the walls? That's nitpicking again.
So why did the Dothraki run 10,000 miles? And then
like, you would think that you would use those walls to your advantage and keep your army in the walls and just kind of pick them off, you know, outside the walls.
Yeah, you have the high ground. You have they're coming to you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. But Harry Strickland and the boys are queued up outside.
Yeah, and look, they looked good. Like, they had numbers.
They looked expensive.
They had numbers, and if you look at them compared to their foes across the other side, like, the Golden Company looked like they were going to be able to handle the Northern Army pretty easily.
Exactly.
And then we have the Hound and Arya are the last ones that get inside the gate of the Red Keep.
Jaime Lannister shut out.
There was like the woman that we see later in the episode. She was following Arya and she just didn't make it.
Tough.
And then Jamie didn't make it. He's sticking his golden hand up as if like, hey, look, it's me. Like, let me in.
Jamie Lannister.
No one's biting.
No one's feeling
it. So he has to go around and find another way.
Yeah.
So then we see Cersei, cuts away to Tyrion, just showing kind of perspective of she's up in her tower. He's like on a hill, just
chilling back,
letting the tension build for what we're about to see.
Yes.
And then finally we cut back to Euron on the ships. He looks up and it's Drogon and Dany.
Drogon's wheeling.
And this is what the dragon should have been doing every scene that they've been in. Drogon and Dany come and just dominate.
Yes.
They dominate. They burn the Iron Fleet. Euron has to abandon ship. They're not getting hit by these shots. And I'm glad they showed that the shots were missing and then they had to reload. Like, you know how hard it is to reload those things? I mean, I don't know, obviously, but it looks...
Medieval guy, right?
Yeah, right? But it looks so hard to reload those things. And
It
makes last week
dreadful.
Look really bad because they went 3-for-3 and killed Rhaegal easily and Daenerys let them go. When really, in reality, she could have just, you know, hung a big U-turn because they had their sails up. This time they didn't, but last episode they had their sails up, so they couldn't have turned around with their ballistas and shot the spears into their sails.
Got around the back. Yeah,
But yeah, so she's doing some evasive maneuvers and serpentine and she smokes the entire fleet.
The George R. R. Martin quote that was sent to us: one dragon in recorded history has been brought down from the air by a projectile, and it was a 1 in a million shot. A mature dragon in the air is virtually invulnerable.
So yeah, so that was a George R. R. Martin quote. So clearly he did not endorse last week's slaying of Rhaegal.
Bing, bang, boom. Yeah.
I think if George had any say in it, he probably would have just had Rhaegal die in the Battle of Winterfell. But
I think if anyone would have had any say in it besides a couple people.
Besides the guys that did.
Yeah, right? But tic-tac-no last week on the three shots, one through the throat. But yeah, we're seeing the dragon wheeling, which is awesome.
Yeah,
great.
So that's how it should have been done. Like the dragons are weapons of mass destruction, and that's what we saw today.
Exactly.
So Drogon is dominating. Then he comes from behind the walls, just wrecks the Golden Company and the gate, and it's on. And like it's just an absolute demolishing of the Golden Company's destroyed and. The Dothraki and the Northern Army are just—it's a free for all. Just run,
get in there, baby.
Yeah, it's just just ride this wave, crush everything in your path.
Love it.
And yeah, this was the first time I think we've seen Daenerys and Jon have things go to plan.
Yeah, go their way.
You go back to Battle of the Bastards, and then especially the Battle of Winterfell. Like those battles did not go
and
their
beyond
way.
The wall.
And beyond the wall, yeah. Like, their plans have been bad. This one finally went their way. Everything went according to plan. up until Danny messed that up. But for now, yeah. So we have Harry Strickland. He gets up after out of the wreckage. Grey Worm spears him in the back as he runs away.
Yeah.
Harry Strickland... I meant to put him on Death Watch. I did in my text to you originally.
Yes.
Didn't put it in the tweet. I'm going to count it as a win. So, sorry.
We'll count it. How did Death Watch do tonight? Do we know? We'll get the final.
I think the total, yeah. Well, let's cut to it now, I guess. Total, I think, was maybe 4-for-6. And then I didn't have Varys on there, so you can count a point against me for that. But
yeah.
But overall, pretty solid. We had Grey Worm, who survived. Doesn't make sense. He shouldn't have. We had the Mountain and the Hound. Assume they're both dead. Euron died. Qyburn, Jaime, Cersei, all died. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 6-for-7.
Like it.
You throw Harry Strickland in there. That's 7-for-8.
Varys.
Knock a point for Varys. So we got
6-for-7.
6-for-7. So 6-for-8. 6-for-8. 6-for-9. Not bad. Not bad. I'll take it.
Got it. But yeah, Harry Strickland. You know, he was getting a lot of hype this preseason. You know.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little disappointed that we didn't see the Golden Company do more, but. That's, in my mind, that's how it should have went, where you have a dragon against an army of foot soldiers.
It's like it's both. It's like, okay, you see the dragon really flexing his muscles. Awesome. But then it's also like, we haven't seen that really these last couple of battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and I think you go back to after Night King, the whole wave was like, all right, it's back to Thrones. It's back to Cersei's the main. And like this battle, we get Sapochnik again. This episode 5 is going to be maybe even better battle. It's going to be more meaningful. You know, there's going to be more, you know, bigger lives lost, which there was. But the battle itself wasn't much of a battle.
It definitely wasn't a battle. It was
like an ambush,
like a war scene, but it wasn't
sacking. It was a sacking of a city.
Yes,
but it wasn't a battle.
It was not 1v1. It was not a fair fight. It was
no. And Tyrion kind of told us this though. He said it's not going to be. They're going to win. He kept saying it, and I was thinking like, and I think maybe he's overestimating. But it was dead on. Like they're going to sweep this shit, and they did.
So we see. As the Northern Army is going through the streets of King's Landing, and they're kind of led by the Dothraki.
Yes.
Where are these Dothraki coming from?
I know.
I think they might have said it when they were war planning that they lost half.
Okay.
Come on.
Right? It's just like, you're going to have all those lights go out like that, but then we're still going to have half. That nitpicky for sure.
A little nitpicky. Why are there still Dothraki?
Why did they only send half against the undead and then kept half back? It's tough to reconcile with for sure.
So,
but the Dothraki, they're leading the way.
Dothraki, and they're pretty vicious. So then we have Drogon. He's burning all the army and the ballistas, the scorpions, taking them all out.
Which is awesome.
Which, that's how it should be.
Yes.
That's how it should have been last week.
No qualms with that, for sure.
Then Cersei is looking shook. Just a shot of her up in her tower. Things are not going the way she thought they would. I don't know why she thought they'd be better, but Tyrion is just kind of walking through the chaos himself. I don't really understand why. I guess he wants to just see it firsthand and
see his city.
Yeah, it's his city, and this is what he feared. At least he doesn't want to see. He has his fears, and we're not there yet.
But. Yeah.
So then we have Cersei and Qyburn, and this is when you know things aren't going well for Cersei. Qyburn is like, she says, all we need is one good shot. Qyburn says, all the scorpions are destroyed. She says, oh, well, we have Euron Greyjoy.
Euron got him last week.
Killed one last week. And, oh, actually, the Iron Fleet is burning in the Blackwater Bay. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, the Red Keep is never falling, and it won't today. Yeah, about
where
that.
Where Cersei was wrong.
About that. Cersei, not a great episode for Cersei. She's probably a WOT nominee.
For sure.
And for obvious reasons.
Red Keep, yeah, it won't fall today.
So after this scene with Cersei and Qyburn, we cut to Jon, Davos, and Grey Worm, and this is when we get to the standoff.
And they're walking in, and what it reminded me of is the Night King and his boys, the White Walkers, walking in.
A little bit, yeah.
Because like he comes to the front, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is the crew with Davos, Jon, Grey Worm. It's like, all right, cool, look, this is really cool. And we get to a huge standoff, stare down. We talked about it earlier, but yeah, everyone's involved in this.
Yeah, so then, you know, the bells ring. Dany has her moment where she decides, you know, fuck it, I'm just gonna go for it.
It's bullshit, though, I feel like. You need to dissect this a little more. The bells are ringing. Tyrion, her advisor, has said, when this happens, it's game over. Don't worry. Call the dogs off. I understand the thought for a trick play, Cersei Lannister, you know, whatever it may be. So then we see her take off, and I'm thinking, oh, she's going to kill Cersei. Like, this is going to be, like, almost epic. Like,
I agree. And that's probably what she should have done. She should have just gone
right to where she was going.
Yeah, she should have made a beeline right to the tower and right to Cersei and just set the thing on fire, and then it's over.
It's game over. And I go back to what we said. I mean, she had, even if you say, you debate, like, she wanted to be more violent than she was, but this was the best-case scenario for her. Get them to surrender without killing people, without killing too many innocent people.
Yeah,
this was best case.
It was.
So why fudge it up?
Because she is a mad Targaryen. That's all. That's all there is to it.
But the mad Targaryen goes mad when the back's against the wall. The back was just not against the wall here.
She lost everything
before. Yes.
She lost everything.
And she has one silver line.
Let her emotions,
it was all for this.
She let her emotions control her. She let her rage that had been building for episodes, for years, I guess.
Yeah.
She let that rage control her. She, you know, like the Hulk, kind of. She was there.
Hulk. Now it's the Hulk.
She's, yeah.
She but Hulk, I'm saying
she
the Matt.
She Hulked out.
If it was like, you know, the battle was 50-50, and it's like, if we just kill everything, we win. And if we don't kill everything, we lose. It wasn't like that. The swords were dropped. The bells were ringing. You know, And you see, and it's not even just like, okay, she's like, you know what, I'm going to keep going. And then like, it's like, all right, call the dogs off. It is 30 straight minutes of her just riding around and just killing everything, burning the whole city. No, it makes no sense. And I understand it's Mad Queen, but I feel like Mad Queen comes out when back's against the wall, and the back was just not against the wall. Everything she lost was for this moment, was to get the Iron Throne and to get it kind of the way that would get it one way or the other. But if you can get it this way, get it. And she got it that way. She had it, Curry.
She could have had it, but look, everything that's happened in this season so far has built to this. I think she realized that the writing was on the wall and that Sansa was going to be against her. Jon is going to end up with more support in Westeros.
She said that.
Jon has the support, so she finally just lets this rage take over her, her emotion take over her. That's all there is to it. You can complain that she went mad. You can't complain that after going mad, she burned the city, because that's what mad queens do. That's what mad people do. That's what her father, the Mad King, he wanted to burn down the city.
Because he knew he was going to lose,
and
though.
That's what she did.
He knew he was going to lose.
Would she not have lost if she didn't do that?
She would
not have sat on the Iron Throne. She's not going to.
This isn't advance her agenda.
It does.
If she kills Jon Snow, it does. But it still doesn't.
And that's what they're setting up for next week.
No.
You don't think there's going to be a Jon and Danny standoff next week?
Well, she's going to say, like, I think there's going to be some sort of conflict.
Someone's dying, if not both.
So do you think that she just wants to burn the whole place down and then we'll burn Jon Snow?
Look, you could see it. Look, so let's talk about what exactly she did and what they showed us on screen rather than just mention.
Other thing I think is a cop-out is she makes the decision to go mad. And we don't see her for the rest of the episode. We don't see her face. We don't see her thoughts. We don't see she's crying. We don't see she's...
Oh, my... There was one graphic of the dragon, like, flying down the screen that was terrible. It looked like a cartoon. Like, I hope some of our viewers saw it the way I did. We're going to have to watch that and maybe tweet
Worse than Starbucks Cup?
It was a really, really bad graphic. Like, it looked like an old video game or something. It was really bad. Maybe it was just me, but...
Maybe I just had tears in my eyes. I couldn't see because of what they were doing with this series.
It was a really bad graphic. I think it was, like, flying down, like, near the tower, maybe.
We don't see her the rest of the episode. We just have to assume what she's feeling. I mean, because we get the point where the decision's made, which is cool, and it's like... All right, she's going in. Oh, no. Like, why is she doing this? And then we don't see the rest of the episode. So now it's just, we're starting up next week with just, Danny, what the hell was that? Like, what were you doing?
So we didn't see her, but we did see other people, and they were processing what she did.
Yes.
So we saw Jon.
All the innocent people she was killing.
So after she breaks the sand off and starts burning the city, Grey Worm... Immediately,
this is bullshit.
Grey Worm follows suit. He kills one of the Lannister
soldiers. They threw
their swords down. Grey Worm goes for it, and then the rest of the Northern Army goes for it.
Dude goes a little Night King. He throws an absolute seed through the main guy who surrendered.
Yep, and
I get Mad Queen.
He has similar emotion and rage in him that Daenerys has at this point.
Yeah, Masande
died. Not the same.
But guess what? This Kingsguard guy didn't kill. You just won, bro. You just won.
It's not enough for Grey Worm right now. It's not enough for Daenerys.
Grey Worm should have died in the Battle of Winterfell.
He should have.
He should have.
So then, yeah, so that starts just the absolute chaos. We have innocents just being murdered for no reason. No reason.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a little upset that, like, the army also went through and sacked the city.
Yes.
Because they could have just sat back and let Daenerys do it. There was really... And Jon, he tried to hold them back at several points.
Grey Worm looks back. That's a pretty key point.
That was a key point.
Because Grey Worm goes in, Jon held back, pulling the boys back a little bit. Grey Worm looks back like, you MF-er, like you're disobeying your queen. Like, we're supposed to be sacking this. And, dude, come on.
Yeah, and then we have, you know, the dragon fires blowing up buildings. That's another thing, nitpicking. But the dragon fire, like the force that comes with it, blows up buildings. And we've seen that before, but never when Daenerys, never like around her own people. Like in... The Battle of Winterfell, when all there were several times where Dragonfire saved them and bailed them out, there was never any sort of force, recoil. Yeah,
recoil for sure.
Like, it's blowing up buildings. Anyway, so Jon saves a woman. He kills his own man. That was, I think, a a turning point for John. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple moments here where it was kind of in slow-mo. He's taking it in, and that was one of them for sure, where he kills his own man, saves a woman. So then we cut to Jamie and Euron. And this was something we mentioned on the preview pod, hoping maybe we'd get some Jamie v. Euron conflict battle, and we do. So Euron is climbing ashore out of the water because he had to abandon ship. And
he was off. It would have been an off-screen death.
So they're battling. Then we have Jamie is stabbed. Euron's winning. Jamie got stabbed in the side, and Euron is kind of being like the cocky villain guy at this point. Like you know,
classic.
He could have finished him off. He didn't. Jamie's crawls to his sword, gets to it, stabs Euron in the chest, and Euron is
impaled on this rock.
So he's dying, but as Jamie walks away and Euron's impaled on the rock, he says, "I got you. I'm the man who killed Jamie Lannister."
Yes.
And I laughed at this point. I don't know if I did it out loud, but he goes, "I'm the man." I thought they should have just cut it there. I'm the man.
Because he gets him in the beginning by saying, like, he boned the queen.
Yeah.
Which is
I thought he was going to mention the baby, but he didn't. But
yeah, and I think our boys D&D said that, like, he wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah. But I thought he was going to mention Jamie, just like, "Oh, by the way, I knocked up the queen."
Yeah, because
something like
the thought this week was, "Oh, she might, you know, Cersei might lose allegiance of Euron because Tyrion walked up and said, 'I know about the baby.' How would Tyrion know about the baby unless the baby was already there when Tyrion was there last time?" But no, none of that.
I think Euron's probably not that sharp, to be honest.
But he was standing right there. I mean, that was the whole point. The whole point of his plea to Cersei was, "You have a kid." So it's a little. I don't know. Go ahead.
So there was a cutaway in between the
Jamie Lannister gets sort of stabbed twice.
I think it was just like one good one on the side,
and then okay.
But in between the Jamie battle, there was a cutaway to Cersei. She's in tears. Qyburn says the Red Keep's no longer safe.
Qyburn, man.
Yeah, and then you see another shot of, and you see the green fire explosions going off.
Go ahead with this.
So that was the wildfire stashes that originally the Mad King had. So we saw wildfire a couple times. We saw it in Blackwater Bay.
It's the green stuff.
The green flames. We saw Cersei use it to blow up the Sept of Baelor, and now we had the Mad King's other stashes that he had throughout the city, which he originally planned to use to burn them all. That's the whole Mad King premise, is that he had wildfire stashed around the city, and he was going to set it off to burn the city and burn all the innocents. And that now we see Daenerys is doing exactly that. And even, you know, some of her father's wildfire is contributing to that. But
mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of, you know, tip of the cap to her father there.
Yeah, whatever.
So after Jamie, after I'm the Man, we have
I'm the Man,
the Hound and Arya, and they are in the war room, the room with the map on the floor.
Last place they left each other.
Who?
Jamie and
Cersei. But first the Hound and Arya there. But yeah, that's...
Sorry.
Reading
these tweets that are flying in.
Yeah, no problem. So then the Hound and Arya have a nice moment here. He says, he turns and tells her, as everything's kind of crumbling down, you know, Rome is falling, he says, "Go home, you come with me, you die here." And she turns her back and she starts to go, but then before she leaves, she calls to him Sandor. She's never called him Sandor before. No one calls him Sandor. Yeah,
I know. I don't know.
She says thank you, and then she leaves. And my note here that I put is because I originally we discussed in the preview pod that the Clegane Bowl Arya would ultimately finish the Mountain. And
yes, put some money on that.
So I said she better die if she goes back for him. I thought he said that to her. You could tell by the environment. I thought if she goes back to save him, she better not make it out because...
Well, how about Arya Stark? Refuses to be Gendry's lady, kills the Night King, much faceless training, all about her list, all about everything. She comes this far to the 1 yard line and she turns back? What? Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I think the Hound's little emotional speech there got through to her, that just, "You don't want to end up like me. All I've had for so long is just hate and revenge. You don't want to be me." So I think that got through to her. So she decided to turn back.
She got so hyped up just to kind of
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, a lot of it. Everyone, Arya's going to kill Arya's list, you know, all the eyes, shut the eyes, yada, yada, yada. And now she's, you know, 100 yards away from Cersei Lannister, and she just turns back. I thought for sure she was going back.
I think if she knew that Cersei was, like, around the corner, yeah, literally, then she would have stayed. But
I know. Did you think that she was going back when she left?
I thought she was going to come back and kill the mountain. For even during the whole Cleanebowl, I thought she was going to kill the mountain.
Yeah, I know. Darn it. Go ahead.
So, so she thanks him, and then...
Thank you, Sandra.
The mountain is protecting Cersei. She's protected by her Queen's Guard and Qyburn. And then, as they're coming down the stairs, we get Cleganebowl. Finally. Yes. Finally, finally, finally. So, Sandor Clegane, the Hound, he just easily dispatches three of her members of the Queen's Guard.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Bullshit, though?
Bullshit, absolutely. And I thought...
And he's on lower ground.
Yeah, and I thought that was something that Game of Thrones used to be good at, and they haven't been lately, having, like, the main characters kind of be invincible in battle. Mm-hmm. Lately, they have been.
Plot armor.
And even, like, Grey Worm today, no one even took a swing at him. He stabbed so many with his spear. Like, no one even took a swing at him.
I know.
Anyway, so the Hound, look, I guess it was only three guys. The Hound's huge. Fine. I get it. Cool. So he kills three members of the Queen's Guard, and then it's just him and Qyburn, Cersei, and the Mountain.
So the Mountain goes rogue, which I liked.
I like this too. I think Cleganebowl might have been like the best part of the episode, like the part that they did the best. While we didn't get a winner per se,
bullshit.
You don't like it.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
You don't like the conclusion.
I think it's a cop out. I think it's a total cop out. They both kill themselves. Well, maybe not kill themselves, but they both kill each other. I should say.
I guess.
Who won Cleganebowl? You know, that could have been
tough. I guess there wasn't really a winner. I would say the Hound kind of got his revenge ultimately, but it took him away.
Like, so it's a bit of a cop out.
It's bittersweet.
It's a cop out.
So the Mountain, Cersei says, you know, stay here, protect me, Sir Gregor.
Stand by me.
Yeah. Qyburn calls out to him, and he just grabs Qyburn with one hand and smashes his head in, kills him. That was awesome.
That would have been my favorite part of the episode.
And I didn't even know he was capable of something like this, because ever since Qyburn resurrected him or whatever.
Qyburn's like his guy.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Like Frank.
He's listened to everything Cersei's ever said to him. Qyburn's like his owner, basically.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if he had any sort of free will in it.
So I'm saying, like, the Hound, like, I didn't think that, you know, the Mountain's, like, angst against the Hound was as it seemed almost as vigorous as the Hound's angst against the Mountain.
Yeah, and even going back to like their backstory, I feel like we didn't really get enough of their hatred in the show. It's probably more in the books, but in the show, all we really heard was the childhood tale, and
he hates him because he burned his face. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more to the story of like just the Hound or the Mountain growing up and just being a totally abusive brother, and like I think there's even like that he allegedly killed their father or something. I don't know. There's a lot of shit. The Mountain's a bad guy, always has been.
Yeah,
but also like they both kind of grew up and served the Lannisters. Like I don't know, little weird. I feel like there's more to that story that we didn't get, but that's okay. Man. So, Cleganebowl, they battle, knock the Mountain's mask off. We see his face
very
fully
cool.
For the first time in like clear light.
Yeah.
Hideous thing.
He looks brutal.
He is a beastly character there.
He looks like Danny at the beginning of the episode. No, I'm just kidding.
So they're battling, and after the helmet gets knocked off, we cut away. And we get to Cersei sneaking out. And she just walked by the Hound. He had no interest in Cersei.
He just chopped her head right off.
I like that. He had no interest. That's not his battle.
I know.
So she gets to Jaime, and it's emotional. And Jaime says to her, it doesn't matter. And he repeats that later in the episode. But that, I think Jaime repeating that phrase kind of shows what his character has become now. And that's what he's always been. And it's a shame. But that... all that matters to him is Cersei.
They're together.
You know, no one else matters. Their enemies don't matter. It's just the two of them. And
it sucks.
It sucks because he had so much potential. He had
completed
his arc, and then he went back.
And then he went back to the beginning.
Yeah, so that sucks.
But I'm fine with it because it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, again, and this is the bittersweet ending, and it's a Game of Thrones ending. You know, it's not a happy ending. Jaime and Brienne didn't deserve to have their Disney World ending.
No, fudge that, man.
So they have their little moment, their first one.
And on the map.
On the map. Then we cut back to Clegane Bowl. The mountain gets stabbed in the stomach. Straight through the stomach, all the way through his back. Like, he's pierced all the way through. And his armor, too.
Yeah. Strong.
And he just pulls it right out like it's nothing. Like, he is a Terminator. He's a freak.
He's a beast.
Zombie. And he
the
pulls
Hound's
it
got
out.
No sword now.
The Hound has no sword. He busts out of his armor, and you see how huge and freakish he is. And the Hound kind of, like, cries here. He lets out, like, a cry.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Like, he is struggling. We cut away to Arya. She's witnessing the chaos. She gets trampled. The same woman from the beginning picks her up and has the daughter. And they kind of end up being part of Arya's storyline for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Clegane Bowl. The Hound is getting dominated. And the mountain goes for the signature move, the Oberyn.
Yes.
Double thumb, eye gouge, skull crush.
Classic.
He's going for it.
It's classic.
And the
it's
Hound.
Knockout move.
Yeah, the Hound manages to pull his knife out and stab the mountain through the eye and out of the back of his skull. And he just pulls it out.
It's incredible.
And the Hound is like, you know, fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, what? So I think. That was kind of the point where he realized, like, this isn't happening. Like, he's a freak. And then he tackles him off the edge. They go off this huge cliff into the flame.
Which is ironic.
Ironic because the Hound was always afraid of fire.
And so. It's what started their hatred was one of them going into the fire.
So that was our Clegane Bowl conclusion.
Yeah, I think you got to have a winner, man. I think it's a cop-out. But,
I mean, I didn't expect – I thought that the – I didn't think both were going to survive through the episode. Obviously, and I thought that there would be a winner, but I originally thought Arya would kill the mountain, and then the Hound would die after. Maybe Arya would even do it out of mercy.
Yeah, that would have been better. But we got what we got for sure. Let's continue on here. Then I want to get to these tweets. I want to get to Ball Street. I want to get to everything.
Yeah, so we're almost through with this recap and some reaction. We have John is having everyone fall back. We see Arya, she's hurt badly. She, like, wakes up here. She's badly hurt. She's bloody. She's ashy. There's rubble, smoke, ash everywhere. She's running. Another tower comes down near her. And she's just kind of experiencing everything from the innocent person perspective.
Yeah, the point, like, I feel like the point of this was to just show you, like, this is what the people in the city are experiencing.
And I think this is also setting up Arya to kill Daenerys. That's
kill Daenerys.
Yeah.
Wow.
No?
I don't know.
I think that's what it...
Who's letting her get killed? Grey Worm?
Who cares?
Drogon?
It's Arya. Who's letting the Night King get killed? It's Arya. If she can kill the Night King, I think she can kill Daenerys. But
Can.
And I think her seeing the carnage...
I think it's more like, let me get back to Sansa.
Okay, yeah. I think... It's definitely turning her against Daenerys for good.
Everyone is.
It's so
bullshit.
We see her. She's the same woman. They have to keep moving. Follow me. Blah, blah, blah. She
rallies the troops.
She's the innocents huddled in there. Doesn't work out.
Doesn't go back for two.
And she goes down again from Dragonfire, like the blast.
This is 30 minutes. She's still doing this shit.
Yeah. Daenerys was going all out.
But she somehow didn't kill Cersei. Was just sitting up there.
Yeah. So then we get Jaime and Cersei. They're down in, like, I forget the name of it, but it's the area with the dragon skulls, almost like the crypts. Of the Red Keep, and we get, like, a ominous piano starts playing, which is kind of similar to what we've seen in past scenes with Cersei, where I think the first time we heard this type of piano for her was before she blew up the Sept of Baelor. So it's kind of
it was a class.
Coming full
class.
Circle there. She totally breaks down. This is the first time we have ever seen Cersei. Oh, second. First was the Walk of Atonement. Second time we've ever seen Cersei totally vulnerable, totally everything's out there. She realizes that figuratively and literally her world is crashing down on her.
Mm-hmm.
And She says, I want our baby to live. Please don't let me die. Not like this. And Jaime, he understands what's happening and kind of like their path they were going to take was blocked. So he realizes that it's over. He says, look at me. None of this, nothing else matters. Only us. And that's, yeah, that's that again. That's what he's believed, that only Cersei matters. Only him and her matter. The Reigns of Castamere starts playing. That's, you know, the Lannister theme song. It's pretty ominous. And,
so you're focused on Jaime Lannister. Let's talk about Cersei Lannister.
Okay.
This is, because this is pretty much the end of the episode. Arya sees a white horse.
Yeah, then there's a collapse. Arya is alive, sees a white horse.
Is sitting there.
She sees the bodies that are just totally burned, and they're like hugging each other. They're hugging their loved ones, and they're burned like that. Christ. I feel like that was like Pompeii. That's what made me think
Pompeii,
of.
Pompeii, yeah.
And,
not a good scene. Not what you want to recreate.
And that's kind of how it ends. There's ashes falling, and it's
she's heading out to Sansa, probably. Yeah.
Or Jon to kill Daenerys. I think she's going to kill Daenerys. But...
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah.
With
so,
Jon's face?
No. So we have Cersei.
Let's get to Cersei Lannister. And then I want to get to Ball Street. I want to get to the tweets that have been flying in. This is, I mean, we're only doing this one other time for the rest of our existence, which is tough. Red Edge of Thrones here will reset. Follow us on Twitter, Red Edge of GOT. Tweets have been flying in all night, which is fantastic. Midweek, we'll do an analysis of this. This is just instant reaction. And midweek, we'll do a preview for the last episode as well. Let me get a quick Cersei Lannister. And then, actually, you good for Ball Street?
Yeah, you want to go to Ball Street?
I would love to go to Ball Street. I want to save this rampaging here for the end. And because we'll talk a little bit about where things have set up for next week as well.
So Ball Street Trading is a new gaming company that offers live trading for sports, but they're also huge Game of Thrones fans and want to use their exchange for the final season. Ball Street is offering a real-time prediction game for Game of Thrones fans to predict who will sit on the Iron Throne. Buy the living and sell the dead as you watch live. So it's just like the stock market. You get to buy and sell shares of characters, and it's all in real time, so you can make your picks anytime before, during, and after the show. So we signed up and started trading for the episode one. Have to admit, it's very fun, very easy, and a little addicting. So tonight's episode had some major Ball Street takeaways for sure. We saw Cersei and Jaime both go down. They
mid-episode,
were on,
you can trade.
They were on the exchange. Yeah, so if you were invested in either of them, you should have sold right before they died, or you know, before, once you got the feeling they were dead.
Yeah.
So it's totally free to play, and they're giving away free money to the top 20% of people who trade. So I actually won free money weeks ago in the NCAA championship game when I first played Ball Street. So if I can do it, you can do it. So our listeners, you guys need to get into this contest. There's only one week left. So with our help, you can win free money. So you can even compete against us at Right After GOT on the exchange. That's on the Ball Street Trading app. There's never been anything like this. It's a perfect place to try it with Game of Thrones. So make sure you download the Ball Street Trading app on your smartphone or check out the link in the show notes to play.
Absolutely. And I mean, just like Game of Thrones is about to be over 1 week, but there's like bunch of different stuff you can do. And this platform, like if you like betting, if you like gambling, it's just even a more unique, sophisticated, fun tracking during the game or the show or whatever it may be, way to really do things.
Yeah, I was playing it tonight. I kind of forgot. I was playing it tonight for the Sixers game. You can play it for all kind of sporting events. And obviously the Sixers lost, and I had bet all in basically on the Sixers. I came in almost second to last. Like I was really bad. Like,
got it.
You don't want to have your money on the losing horse by the end. So
got it. So yeah, Iron Throne talk, because it's all about who's going to end up on the Iron Throne. Cersei Lannister. It looks like they might get out of there.
Yeah, and I was kind of rooting for him.
I was rooting for
him
too. Because we were talking about this, the penultimate episode.
Penultimate.
Love the penultimate episode. And we're going to get, Cersei Lannister's going to die probably. So it's like, how who's going to kill Cersei? Who's going to kill Cersei? Who's going to kill Cersei? And it's like, it's looking like no one is going to like get to Cersei. So it's like, all right, maybe like, let's see if she can get away. And she can't get away. But Jaime Lannister, Cersei Lannister, boom, off the Iron Throne. Danny, obviously stock way down.
Yeah, so I have it pulled up here, and you can see exactly the moment where people started selling Danny. So it was about 950-ish, between 946 and 10:03.
That's probably right when she made the decision to.
Yeah, so that's when Danny's stock plummeted. So she's down. I sold out my Daenerys. So she's down to $13, $14. And she was, before this episode, she was up to like 26. So she's almost 50% down.
Where's Jon Snow?
Jon Snow is up. He went up about the same time Daenerys went down, but not by the same margin. But he's up around $74.
It's so, out of 100 too, right?
Roughly. I don't think it's exact, but that's like the max. So
got it.
So he's up. Sansa is up.
Sansa Stark. That's what I want to ask you.
So Sansa's yeah, up. So Sansa went up, and it looks like she might be the only one. Maybe Bran may have gotten a small boost, and Arya got a small boost as well. But so right now,
I think there's three candidates.
Yeah, if you're looking at Ball Street, the top three right now are Jon, Sansa, Daenerys.
In that order?
Yes, Jon, Sansa, Daenerys, Bran, and Arya, and that is it. Everyone else is pretty near much zero. Bottomed out. Yeah,
got it. Sansa Stark. That's your girl. She
Big
got a
Sansa
better.
Fan.
She got a better chance than Daenerys ending up on this Iron Throne.
Yes, I think right now, yes, and part of it is Jon doesn't want it.
Yes,
that I think is the biggest thing. So
Jon, Sansa Stark have a better chance than Jon Snow of ending up on this Iron Throne.
No,
really? You think Jon? You think there's a chance that Jon Snow takes the Iron Throne, and even though he's saying he won't,
I don't think he's like taking it because
accepting
he wants it,
though.
But yeah, I think he'll accept it because he has to, and he's the only one. I'm not saying this is what is going to happen, but in the outcome that Jon ends up on the Iron Throne, like I think this is how it goes down: is that Jon and maybe Sansa and Tyrion and whoever else kind of lead this rebellion against Daenerys. That, you know, look, Mad Queen, can't have that. You look at what you did. Can't have this. And somehow dethrone her, and Jon is the obvious choice. And Varys sent out those letters. We know that the lords of Westeros, we assume, are going to receive them and rally around Jon.
Mm-hmm.
So Jon's the obvious candidate to be on the Iron Throne at this point. Daenerys, she's third on
Daenerys
Wall Street.
Has home court advantage though right now.
She's got home court. She is, I assume, going to sit on the Iron Throne herself at some point, like physically.
Yeah,
sit.
We
like,
got that. We got that. The vision where
we did. We got Bran's vision of the dragon flying over King's Landing.
Yeah,
we still haven't really seen the throne, the ashy throne or snow covered throne, however you want to put it. We haven't seen that yet, and we know that Daenerys had her House of the Undying vision, which is similar. So.
Yes.
So we haven't seen that yet, but could come to light.
So you think Jon Snow's a favorite?
I think Jon's definitely the favorite.
Sansa's the two-hole?
I think Sansa would be two-hole just because of Jon not wanting it. Because if
Jon goes north, we didn't get a proper ghost send-off because he sees Ghost again when he joins the real north, as Tormund said.
Yeah, I think that would be very fitting for Jon to turn his back on everything Iron Throne-esque. Like,
would it be fitting for Sansa Stark to play the game this way and get on the Iron Throne?
I mean, she didn't do anything this episode. We know.
But I'm saying she did. She did.
Yeah,
she did everything this.
She
this season.
Made the moves to lead.
She little
fingered
this thing. Dude.
Yeah, she little fingered it.
She did, and by telling Tyrion, and I mean. Danny's thing is that she thinks that she knew by telling Tyrion that shit would get crazy. Chaos is a ladder. Is it Sansa Stark's ladder?
Maybe. And that was always Littlefinger. His vision that he had was, you know, him on the Iron Throne with Sansa at her side. Well, maybe she's adopted that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, cut him out of the picture.
Got it. So give me, you see, those are the only three likely, right? So give me your percentages.
Well, I think the dark horse at this point is Bran. Yeah. I think Arya, absolutely not. I don't see her being a ruler. But Bran, the only reason I still am holding on to him, we didn't see him in all this episode, but being what he is, like this godlike figure almost.
I think if the characters understood more what Bran was, he would have an even better shot.
Yeah, and I think Tyrion understands it.
Tyrion, any chance?
No.
Jon leaves, says, hey, little man, you're the guy who's been pushing these buttons. Why don't you just rule this?
Where's Tyrion at?
Rule this stuff.
Here. Yeah, no, Tyrion is all the way at the bottom, same as all the dead characters, which doesn't really make sense. Probably a good buying opportunity for Tyrion if you guys are interested. I can't see it, though. I don't.
You can't see it? Sansa's in over Tyrion? What about Sansa and Tyrion led Iron Throne? Just getting real conjecture here.
I mean, they were married at one point, so.
Are they? Did they ever get unmarried? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I guess if it was never consummated, maybe they weren't.
I don't know. We're talking medieval talk here.
Yeah.
But no, Ball Street, check it out because you can get in. You're saying Sansa, you're up on Sansa.
I am. Yeah.
And the market's up on Sansa, but I mean, not how far ahead is she above Daenerys?
Just by about 19 cents.
And the thing is, what you could do now is you can get in and you can go all in on one character. And there's one episode left. So you want to go on Sansa Stark. You know, you're going to have a good chance of doing well if she gets it. What do you got?
As I'm speaking, I just...
We're moving the markets?
Maybe. We might be moving markets because as I'm speaking, I just bought two extra shares of Sansa because I had like leftover dollars. And then her price dropped to $12.92, whereas... Daenerys is holding at 13.08, so she's up by Daenerys just went up a couple cents.
Got it. So yeah, market's always moving. Ball Street will tweet out the info that you guys need.
Brand's moving up as we speak. Brand, we're moving the markets, people.
I absolutely love it, which is great. You know, Brand, dark horse for sure. I think if the people understood more, I mean, Brand kind of just got brushed over with I'm the Three-Eyed Raven, all that nonsense. But yeah, we'll see Brand next episode, I believe. So let's talk a little bit about, well, you know, we'll get the preview pod. We'll get all that. I want to get to the tweets. I want to get to Goat and Woat. But I want to get back to the Cersei Lannister thing. Because these are the tweets that are coming in that I'm 100% agreeing with. Is for 8 seasons, you know, this has been, I mean, we go back to the beginning. She was all up in the, when Nymeria, I think it was, bit Joffrey. That got it brewing with, she was all in on, you know, you bit my son and all that. From that very point, she has been the
penultimate.
Your word there, villain. And who's going to kill Cersei? Who is Arya? Jaime? She going to kill herself? What's going to happen? And she goes out from Dragonfire above that just crushes her and Jaime. What's your take on that being the way Cersei Lannister goes out? Because I'm getting people on Twitter here and I'm agreeing with them saying, how is this?
I mean, I think she had to die.
Yes.
And I think that this is kind of the second time that she has been caught in her own web, almost. Like the first was obviously the Walk of Atonement, the arming the Faith Militant. That was the first time we ever saw Cersei really make a big mistake.
Misstep,
which she then corrected by blowing everyone up. So.
Yes. Because she's Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, that's what she does. Everyone who's ever crossed her, she's destroyed. She's killed them. So she messes up here, obviously, by not... Just by not respecting Daenerys, by lying to the North when they came down looking for, like, a truce.
She could have just left.
Yeah, like, she underestimated Daenerys, she overestimated her own forces. Even as she saw the city burning, like, she's like, oh no, just one good shot and we got it. Like, no. Like, that's not... You had your one good shot last week when you took out one dragon. You're not going to get it again. And
this is Loretta Mercado tweets in saying, Cersei is dead? After 8 years of being the villain, you would think a better ending would be in store for her. Producers or writers should have come up with a better ending. Nothing up her sleeve. She didn't even seem to fight back or have a plan.
Yeah, it seemed...
I mean, they got smoked. They got smoked.
This was a rout. This was a landslide victory. And I agree, kind of. Cersei Lannister should have had something else. And...
Or a satisfying death.
Yeah.
If it built up where Jaime came back and killed her, or if it built up where... Even if I would have took Arya Stark, I know how much we didn't want this to happen, but I would have took Arya Stark getting there and crossing off her list
I'm happy with the way they died, better than having Arya. If Arya did it, I would have been furious.
Oh my! But just to go out like this, I don't know.
It's, you know, she went out with a whimper, not a roar. You know, like she broke down to Jaime. She said, you know, I don't want to die, not like this. I want her child to live, and that's like. She realized it too late, you know, like if she wanted her child to live,
yeah,
if she wanted
it could have been we all out
like this, then she could have had it that way.
Jamie offered it to her.
Jamie offered to her. Tyrion offered to her several times, and she refused. And she just realized her own fate too late. And it kind of, that's kind of similar to the people she destroyed, like Marjorie Tyrell. She realized her fate too late. She realized Cersei was about to do something, and then the Sept blew up. Cersei, I mean, this was as it was happening, but she, you know, not before with Marjorie, but she realized too late that it was over for her. And she's had the evidence in front of her for episodes now, and she refused to back down, refused to believe it, refused to see what was coming.
Yeah, and they built up the Night King, they built up that in this huge way. And that goes down in episode 3, so it's like, all right, let's rock, like, 3 episodes, let's wrap up this Cersei son of a gun, let's take her down. And so I thought there was going to be more. I thought there was going to be a legit battle.
So little foreshadowing back to, with Cersei's death here, although this is more for Jaime's death. So
go ahead.
If you remember last season, it was his last season? Don't quote me on last season, but we had Jaime and Bronn. Bronn said to Jaime, "How do you want to go?" And Jaime says, "In the arms of the woman I love." And Bronn says she wants the same thing? So
I don't think she realized she did until.
I don't think she did at all. But that's what Jaime wanted, and that's why he said nothing else matters. Like this is how I want to go. Basically, is what he was saying. So, sucks for Cersei. Sucks for both of them.
I'm saying 10 years from now, we're gonna be saying, you know, we're gonna be talking about Game of Thrones, and it was like, oh, Cersei Lannister was the big bad guy, and how did she die again? Oh yeah, like when Daenerys went mad, and she was like. Putting Dragonfire all over the city, like the building they were in, collapsed on top of them.
I mean, Daenerys gets the credit for it. Like,
I know.
If you're going to say who killed Cersei, I would say Daenerys.
Daenerys getting her right in the grill with a Dracarys. Give me that.
But yeah, that probably would have been more satisfying. I agree it would have been more satisfying, but, you know.
This whole season, I feel like, has been like, we're going to get, like, all right, like the reason we got the Kumbaya is because the Kumbaya crew is sitting around the campfire. And the
it's going to be the last scene together.
Because it's going to be like, it's that. And then it's like, all right, well, Cersei had her big moment last week because like she's going to have this huge death. And like we just haven't, I feel like we've just gotten, all right, maybe the expectations are too high, but they've definitely been subverted in my opinion.
Yeah, and I will say one more thing about Jaime, Cersei's death, is that there was no Valon Qhar, little brother prophecy, which, we said this on the preview pod, that was a book thing. It was never on the show, so...
People are like, oh, Jaime has to kill.
Look, George R. R. Martin, maybe he'll have Jaime kill her, maybe he'll have Arya do it with the faces or something. We don't read the books. I think I'm probably going to have to after this, but...
Yeah, right?
Because I want to see what George R. R. Martin has in store for his ending.
Because these guys, I don't know. I don't know about these guys.
Yeah, their fan fiction is struggling.
They're without source material, it has been... Tougher than when it was with source material. Best episode, worst episode, and what else do you want to talk about before?
So yeah, let's get to some goat and woat, some nominees.
I want to get some more tweets too.
So, some the tweets are flying in, of course, and the Hound is having some nominations here
for the best episode.
For the best episode,
okay.
And
Alexis Bird tweeting the Hound. Let's see who else.
Yeah, I think he can go up there.
The Hound, Robert Brinker tweeting in the Hound. This one says, no winners here.
Now, look, the Hound, he died. So let's throw that out there. We've had goats die before.
If he died.
But yeah, he didn't care. Like he said, this is my, I'm not coming back. Like this was his, you know, this was the dragon he was chasing. This was his moment.
Yep.
This was his white whale. That's what I was looking for. This was his white whale.
Yes.
I want to kill my brother, who I've grown up hating forever, who did this in my face. Like, he serves the evil queen. Like, I want to kill my brother.
Yep. Rowan Abbott, the Hound. Alyssa Marie, the Hound. Yellow_Doe, the Hound. HTML Rules Dude, the Hound. So the Hound's getting a lot of buzz.
Hound is getting a lot of buzz. And yeah, he inadvertently saved Arya just by telling her to get the hell out of there.
Yes. Game of Caddy, the Hound. For not letting himself be Oberyn Martell'd and getting stuff done.
He was getting Oberyn Martell'd.
I know.
Let's see. We got some nominations for Sansa, who was not in the episode.
I'm giving it to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So
we talk about advancing agenda.
Yeah. Explain why.
We talk about advancing agenda. We talk, and I hate this. I hate this part of the story. I know you're a Sansa fan for sure, but Ned Stark died with Jon Snow's secret, and she knows it for two scenes, maybe less, and she tells Tyrion, and she puts this all in motion. She said, "I don't trust your queen." I guess she was right about that, based on those actions, the actions we saw tonight, I should say. But her agenda is get Dany out, and Dany doesn't do what she did tonight, in my opinion, if she doesn't sense the treason and the throne slipping away. And I don't think she does it without Sansa putting those balls in motion, those balls in play.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that Sansa telling Tyrion, like, and
that's a huge decision.
Having that compared to Ned Stark keeping that his whole life is it's two totally different things.
But there. I'm saying forget that. Her, all season, family, the North, John. Yes. That's her thing. She's guilt tripping the hell out of John for that. And then she goes and does this. Oh, yeah, the Ned Stark thing is kind of like, whatever. But the whole, her guilt trip John time after time, family, you know, blah, blah, blah.
What
blah,
about
blah.
The North?
What about
that's
the
what
North?
She's always said.
All that stuff. And, you know, and even before, she says, he says, you know, I'm not really your brother. He's like, no, like, your family. Like, you know, come on, like, we're all together. And then he tells you one thing, and, you know, you have the opportunity to betray your bro, and she takes it.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking for her eyes, that's why she had a great episode. She was right to distrust Dany, and she looks like
and
she's
going to... And there's another one, a better one. That's Jon.
Exactly. Apparently. So, I'll put up there for GOAT for sure.
Okay.
Give me another GOAT.
Some other nominees.
Not a lot of winners from this episode, including the viewers, I think. But
so, we just got a tweet in here from Amber Bailey. Says, GOAT, Arya, Hound, Jon. So, those are her three nominees. I don't really see Arya or Jon having great
Arya
episodes.
I'm down on. I mean, she didn't get her kill. She got saved, I guess. Jon?
I mean, they were both... Jon and Arya both kind of had similar stories this episode, where they went in, they had something in mind, and then they saw the carnage, they saw the destruction, and it changed their view of Daenerys and of what they were doing, and ultimately changed how they're going to feel going into next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they were winners or that they had great episodes. I think it was...
Jon kept his valor for sure, though. How about Grey Worm?
Grey Worm.
In terms of the Grey Worm, you know,
for him, he had a good episode. I mean, he got his revenge. I guess he killed a shit ton of people. Like,
yeah,
that's what he wanted to do.
He was nominated.
It's tough. Yeah.
There's not a lot of winners, though, for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna have to think on this one, but not a lot of winners.
D Good in 83. No winners here. Season 8, this guy's name is Season 8 GOT is trash. So we
that's
know
his name.
That's his legit Twitter name. Everyone lost because this episode and season have been trash. I don't know if I completely agree with this guy or just 90% agree with this guy. No, I'm just kidding. Cersei's dead. DB and Weiss by far had the worst episode. Dead, hashtag dead to me. GOT failed us on so many levels. I pray the book is better. So, going to get to vote?
So, whoa, there's plenty of nominees, but I think we could have one more GOAT nominee, and it could be a WOAT too, I guess, because he died, but Varys.
Yes,
he was proved right. He was proved right. He was right all along, so Varys, but he also got caught. So, if he had gotten away somehow, then definitely. But
we don't know how he got caught because he wasn't on screen, obviously, but okay.
She just knew.
Somehow.
So, some other WOAT nominees. So, Tyrion, again, he's kind of similar to Varys, but he didn't die. He's got to live with this, but he let Jaime go, and Jaime didn't follow through with what he told Tyrion he would do. I mean, not to his fault. He was trying to and just couldn't, yeah. I guess. And then, you know, he was threatened by Daenerys. She said, don't fail me again. And then he went off and freed Jaime. So, like, he is definitely on her bad side now. Like, she has no reason not to kill him.
She has no good side.
There's no more good sides. Cersei for Woe for sure, and Daenerys for Woe for sure. I think those Daenerys and Cersei, I think, are going to be the two top Woe voters here, because Daenerys, obviously, she went Mad Queen. She became what she has feared for so long and what people have warned her about for so long. She became her father. She burned the city, burned them all.
And she had it, man.
Yeah, whatever you say.
What do you mean, whatever I say? The bells are ringing, man. They surrendered. Right?
She never would have had it, though. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but I'm saying... I'm saying in
that moment, yes, she had the victory won, but she never would have ended up on the Iron Throne.
But this didn't... This doesn't solve that issue.
It doesn't, but that's because she went mad. Like,
but I'm... Yeah, but it's not... I think that she has a claim to make. If the dragon comes in, which it did, and sack the city appropriately, which it did, and they take Cersei out in chains, or send her away, or whatever they do, or they execute her, and everyone rallies around her, and, okay, you know, some people are going to say, but what did Jon Snow do in this battle?
But that's the thing, is I don't think they would have rallied around her.
Who would they go to rally around?
They would have feared her, and that's what she says in the beginning of the episode. I guess fear. They would have feared her. They would not have loved her. They would not have rallied around her. They would have feared her. And the rest of the Seven Kingdoms that we assume the Varys sent these letters to would have saw Jon Snow and saw his track record, the way that the North and the Wildlings, the way everyone has with Jon.
Yeah.
And they would have rallied around Jon.
Yeah. And if I'm Danny, I'm standing there and say, listen, I came. Then I helped kill the Night King. Without me, the undead win. And then I came to the city, and my dragons killed the Iron Fleet, killed the Gold Company, and spared all your lives. And, all right, Jon's the rightful heir, okay, but I think the people in King's Landing, at least, rally around her girl, and...
No, they're afraid of her. They're not going to rally around her.
If they get her out of the... If she got him out of the Cersei's reign, and she brings... good to the city?
Even before she started burning the innocents, they were terrified. Like, they're afraid of her.
But I'm saying if she shows them mercy, she has a chance. Maybe it's a 5% chance, but she went from 5% to 0% with her actions.
I agree with you that. She went to 0% with her actions.
So even if it's... All right, so I don't know. She went... And you're saying the reason for her to go mad is because even if she didn't go mad... she would have not, John would have still got the throne. Doesn't excuse her for just going berserk. If she wanted to, you know, if that's the case, then she needs to kill Jon Snow, she needs to kill Bran.
Well, no, obviously it doesn't excuse her. Nothing excuses her, but I'm saying that's what her reasons were. You're reasoning with a mad woman.
No. I'm reasoning with someone who wasn't mad and then decided to go mad after the bell's rung.
The moves were in place all season. The motion was set all season that this was coming.
I don't know. First they get there, I don't know.
She lost two dragons. She lost her best friend and both of her most loyal advisors. She felt her grip on the Iron Throne slipping away as even Varys and Tyrion are both talking. Oh, Jon, you know.
Yeah.
Like, she sees Sansa in the North is going to rally them around Jon. She sees what's coming. That's what I'm saying, is that it's not like this was like a split second thing that she just all of a sudden decided I'm going to burn everyone. Like, this was, this was everything, an accumulation of yeah, everything going against her, and she snapped.
Yeah, but she had, all right, she knows Jon doesn't want the throne. She know, like, it just could have been, if you're hot, like I said, she took herself to 0%, and I just think that logically just doesn't make sense for her to just burn the city. I guess she just... What's her next move? We'll talk more in the preview pod, but it's like...
I mean, we saw it was the shortest preview
in history.
It was like 10 seconds maybe. And all it was like, we see the Unsullied are like at arms. So I think her next move is to fully like take the city and take the throne, is to have the Unsullied be her army on the ground and defend her as she like takes the Iron Throne. I don't know what exactly logistically her next move is, but I know for Jon it's going to be to step back and talk to Tyrion and talk to Sansa or Arya or whoever. He has to talk to his people and be like, what just happened? This can't happen. Like, we have a problem. I don't think he's going to her directly. I think he's going to his people.
It's insane. What happened is insane. It's unfathomable.
And the problem is that she still has this dragon, so, like, she's just going to keep burning people that cross her at this point. So that's what, like, John and everyone that crosses her is running the risk of just getting roasted.
Yeah. Let them roast her. They're a traitor. But, and this is, and someone just sent us in, like, a long gif of, not a gif, a meme about Danny Burns, you know, Vastothrak Danny Burns at the wagon train. Danny Burns, all this stuff. But then when Danny Burns, King's Landing, we're supposed to be shocked. But I think this is different because it's after they surrendered. That is different, Curry. I get it. We were leading up to Mad Queen, but I thought Mad Queen would come back against the wall, not post-surrender, after the buzzer sounded. You know?
I get what you're saying, but I don't have a problem with it.
Don't have a problem with it. I have such a problem with it.
I'm sure that there's a lot of Daenerys fans out there who
I'm not even
saying
you don't have to be Daenerys fan. Just be a logical fan. I don't know.
You're trying to wrestle logic with madness. You're trying to balance them. And there's
I guess. I don't know. She had that choice. The bells are ringing. She has the throne. She has the city. You figure out the politics later, but you just don't need to do that. And she did it. So, I don't know. Good disagreement. We'll get to the preview five for sure. We got the GOAT and WOAT nominees. Danny's a WOAT. Obviously, Cersei's a WOAT. I guess we could say the Mountain. Who else?
We could say the Mountain. We could say
the Mountain was a beast, though.
He was, but he died.
Tyrion, Jaime.
Tyrion, Jaime. Euron, maybe.
Euron.
He's the man.
He's the man, though, in his eyes.
I want someone to clip that. Just I'm the man.
I'm the man. Anything else?
I mean,
should we get some more tweets real quick? I don't know.
What do we have left for next week? That's my only question, because obviously it's going to be the Jon, and it's going to be for the Iron Throne. It's going to be Jon versus Daenerys.
But we say reverse. People think like physical.
No, I'm talking like legal almost, like political, like Jon v. Daenerys, like, you know, who
the case of Jon Snow versus Daenerys of House Targaryen, Breaker of Chains. But Breaker of Chains, man. Like, she was supposed to be the one that got these people out from the tyranny. I want to get them out from tyranny. And she just went crazy. It doesn't make sense to me a little bit.
Yeah. I will say, before we wrap this up, we have to own up that the writers, for all the shit that we've given them, they did not go with the old cop-out strategy, the deus ex machina, the savior, last second, unknown savior. So, gotta give him credit for that, I guess.
I would have rathered that. I mean, there was no battle. There was no battle. What was Sopocek doing? He must have been sitting on his hands. There was a 10-second battle, and then it was just a
dragon onslaught.
It was just a dragon onslaught. I just want to get to these future implications. We'll talk more in the preview. I don't want to usurp our preview pod. I think we can all safely assume that John is rethinking the whole, quote, I don't want the Iron Throne thing now.
I agree. I don't know if I agree, but he's definitely. I don't know if he's saying I want it now, but he's definitely going back on his "she's my queen" thing. So it doesn't necessarily
kill one of his own guys.
It doesn't necessarily mean that he wants the Iron Throne, just because maybe he doesn't want Daenerys on the Iron Throne.
Do you think there's a chance where John tries to almost reason with Danny post-battle. Is honorable Jon Snow, who I bent the knee, this is my queen, is it auto-switch like what she did? Or is it like, Danny, like, what the hell happened? Explain yourself. Like what were you thinking? The bells are ringing.
That's tough.
Because Jon Snow is Mr. Honor. So I think Mr. Honor would sit there and say, like, Danny, what was going on? And you think... He talks to Tyrion and the boys before he talks to Danny.
I think so, yeah.
Arya go to talk to Jon or back to Sansa? Probably not, but can't. Logistically,
probably
can't.
Jon. I don't think she'll. Yeah, I don't think she'll all of a sudden hop away up north. I think she'll stick around the action. I think she's gonna kill. I think she's gonna try to kill Daenerys.
Really?
Yeah. She's the past couple episodes. She said, "I'm going to kill the queen." She didn't say, "I'm going to kill Cersei." She said, "I'm going to kill the queen."
Oh,
Daenerys has green eyes? Question mark. Maybe I don't know.
She does. There you go.
There you go. Oh, man. I know in the book she's supposed to have like purple eyes, but This isn't books. This is a show.
Yep. Bran Wagon feature next week for sure.
Bran Wagon. Yeah, I think we get everyone. I don't
but
like.
Do we get them together?
I don't know. But I think we definitely don't have just one location like we have for the past few episodes. But yeah, I think.
Are we happy with the ending this time next week?
Are we happy? I don't think so. I think we'll be discussing it for sure. I don't think we'll be happy. I think it'll be something we have to kind of think about and take in and let it settle.
Hannah Flynn writes in here, Jon or Arya will kill Daenerys. She's 100% dying. I'm shook. Daenerys, I want to say this to the preview pod.
We'll save it for the preview pod.
Daenerys going to die next week, man?
Save it for the preview pod.
Wow, good tease right there, for sure. But yeah, this episode, man, I went from poor, disappointed to, I think, good and average. Not great, though. You're still in the great.
You could still be disappointed and think it was good or average.
It was no battle. There was no battle, which is kind of hyped up. Cersei Lannister, those are the disappointment takeaways, instant reaction takeaways. Cersei Lannister got, I think, a brutal death for what was supposed to be an excellent villain. I think the Night King's death was significantly more enjoyable or, you know, a better experience than Cersei Lannister's. Jaime Lannister gets the backtrack in the character arc. Euron Greyjoy, you know, he just gets killed by Jaime. I guess that's kind of cool, right?
I'm glad we got to see them face off.
Kind of like came from nowhere, ascended to importance, and then dies like this. I'm cool with it.
I think he might be my WOT nominee.
Yeah, I think that's a good WOT nominee. There's a lot of WOT nominees. But yeah, Dany just makes the switch, man. Ferry's dead. He was writing letters, man. I think it's spot on what you're saying. He's writing to break the news to the people in the. And he said, you know, now eight people know. Hundreds will soon know. It's information now. Well, he made it information. They could have kept it close to the vest. I liked how Dany, definitely a nitpicky how Dany knew everything suddenly, right away. But I think that I like that she came at Tyrion like. Like, it was almost like, all right, she's going to be pissed at Varys. No. Tyrion, like, you told him. Like, and I wasn't even crossing my mind. I was like, oh, yeah, shit. Like, not only did Jon kind of betray her, Sansa obviously betrayed her. And Tyrion could have kept it to himself, could have came to her. He's the hand. Come to the queen. No. He goes to Varys, and then they talk behind her back, and he got smoke for it. I think that's what I'm most... What are you most looking forward to next episode? And that, we'll shut it down on that. We won't preview anything, but what... What interaction are you most looking forward to next episode that we'll get? Arya and Jon.
Because I think they're on the same page, and they're two huge players.
I think Tyrion. If Tyrion and Dany get a meeting, I think that'll be huge.
All right.
That's what I'm looking forward to most. All right. Let's shut it down here. Hour 42. Absolutely extensive instant reaction. Because we only have one more of these left. So there won't be a preview pod next week, but there will be one this week because we have one episode left. We'll do a deep dive analysis, quick takeaways here. We're kind of just rumbling, mumbling, stumbling here an hour and 43 now into the pod. Appreciate everyone listening here. Kurt, any last words here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, make sure if you enjoy the podcast, follow us on Twitter at Right After GOT, and especially if you enjoy it, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Yes,
love those positive 5-star ratings.
Love those positive 5-star ratings when they're coming in; they're fantastic. So until midweek, when we will do an analysis and a preview pod for Tim Curry next Sunday night, we'll be here as well. But thanks for tuning in to Right After Thrones.